004, Thursday night, Chodesh Shabbos.
Shai Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Hei, page Kuf, page Vav. Page Kuf, page Vav. We start from the paragraph again, V'chashe Yisrael Yishmin Nuchar. Min Ho'ifanam HaLolo She'ez Kainu, if the Yitzhahara gives up trying to entrap you from the using the various cheshbonos that we've learned till now, we learned a whole bunch of them till now, probably around 8 of them, and he gives up from those alfana. But as the Chodesh Halvada says in the beginning of this parak, the Yitzhahara never gives up at all. He is tireless, and even if you conquer him, he comes back either with a different cheshbon or he tries again. So he gives up in Ho'ofanam Halala. So Yapilcha, he will try to be machshel you biyam hasfeitos b'inyan ahechus v'hatzedik. So we talked about that last week. These are the Chodesh Halvodos' terms, at least we're using Kapach translation, for Bechira Chavshis. And what's Bashert? Bashert is maybe too, that's not a good word. What's Muchrach, we should say. What's Muchrach and what you have Bechira regarding. And the Chodesh Halvodos goes on to say that the Yetzer Hara tries to convince you of a certain dichotomy that exists, a certain anomaly in the running of the world. Now the truth is the anomaly certainly does exist. We learned it in Shaar HaBitachon, and we know enough without learning Chodesh Halvodos. We all sitting here know enough about Jewish thought to know that the anomaly does exist, but it exists the opposite way. What do I mean? We all know that when it comes to Ruchnius the command, I mean, we all have this general idea without delving into Munos Vedeyas and Mornabuchim and Chavis Halvavas. We all have this general idea that when it comes to ruchniyistic things, we're all familiar with the idea of Akol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyirei Shemayim. We know we have Bechira. And when it comes to the vicissitudes of daily life in Gashmius and the events that a person undergoes in the events that are his life, that is all Min HaShemayim. And there's very little he can do about it within the guidelines of blatant, whether a person is supposed to make basic kishtabus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person, let's say, not to have a fire. The person wants a person to put bars on his window. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to not to cross a street against the light. Certainly not when there's traffic, or there could be traffic. And right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to dress properly, to go to a doctor. Taking away those acts of Hishtadlius, but not taking away, Chas V'Shalom. Ignoring the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Misaseh in what the Chodesh Halvodos calls Sibos, but we all have this healthy understanding of this dichotomy that exists. But the truth is, if you think about it, the dichotomy seems to exist the other way. And that's what the Yetzer Hara tries to talk you into it, as the Chodesh Halvodos is now saying, because it seems to exist the other way. Because I know I go to work, and I work, and I get a paycheck, and I take that paycheck, and I put it in the bank, and I buy food, and I eat it. So, you're going to tell me that even if I wouldn't go to work, I would still have money, and I would still eat, and I would still have everything. But it's counterintuitive. It's really counterintuitive. Our daily lives are that our physical life, Olam Hazeh, the events that happen to us, are caused by us or are caused by others. That's what we experience. Our experience, our practical day-to-day experience is the Yetzer Hara's way. That Olam Hazeh, the things we experience and the things we undergo in living, we are the cause, or other people are the cause. And in Ruchnius, we don't see it that much. Ruchnius is like beyond our experience. We don't see cause and effect in Ruchnius. We don't see a person, we don't see it. We don't see a person putting on tefillin and growing in his relationship with Hashem. Right? We're not, we're not sensitive. We don't experience cause and effect. That's really the best way of putting it. And that's what, therefore, the Yetzer Hara tries to convince you. The Chavir Halvavah says that our perception, our superficial perception, and our experience is indeed the reality. When really the reality is Pumfakeh. But he tries to convince you that's the reality. That when you don't see cause and effect, there is no cause and effect. And Hashem wants certain, there's Rishoyim and there's Tzadikim, and these people are good and these people are bad, and that's the way Hashem wants the world with those things going on. And when it comes to daily life, what seems to be that people are in control, indeed they're in control. That's, so the dichotomy exists, but the Azari says it almost the other way. But we spoke out last week, and I hope I don't end up repeating myself the whole night tonight, because we have to go further, is that, first of all, that in itself it sounds a little maybe philosophical or strange, but people take that tack even without what I said last week. Last week I talked about that we say the same thing. We fall prey to the same thing, but in a different way. We don't say, it's my nature, I'm lazy, I can't take it, this is the way I was born, this is the way I am, this is my hereditary, this is my genes. It's not so rocho, this Yetzer Hara talking. But I thought about it this week. We really have this, I was thinking about Gush Katif really, in that sense. That we, or, like there's a feeling sometimes of, I'm going to say the word wrong, and inexorable. It seems like events are occurring, and evil's being sholeit, or things are happening, and an individual feels powerless, when really each individual is mechuyev to take a stand, and is mechuyev to do the right thing, and he has bechira. And he's not allowed to say, well, this is the way it's going, and this is the way it's happening, and this is what Hashem wants. And, you know, you read the Chavetz HaLovus and you say, well, no one really talks like that, because we know HaKol Yibidei Shemayim Chutz Me'ir Shemayim. That's not true, because we just underwent, and I'm thinking of Gush Katif very powerfully, where so many people said, this is what's happening, this is what Hashem obviously wants it to happen, and people did not take a stand of their Bechira Chavshis, doing what's right and what's wrong, and just making their own personal Bechira, whatever the case may be, whether it was an individual soldier, or the higher-ups, or people in the street that perhaps should have acted differently. The point is, there was a feeling of inexorable, like it's happening, it's a gzeira from Shemayim, and it's happening, and I'm powerless to stop it, and Hashem wants it to happen, and who am I, therefore? But it's not true. Whenever there's a question of right and wrong, whenever there's a question of right and wrong, of usur and mutter, of right, doing the right thing, and you have to take a stand. You don't want to make a cheshbon. And it happens more often than you think. It's supposed to happen. It's obviously happening. What am I going to stand in the way for? So it's not as unusual as we may think, even the way the Chavis HaLvavos puts it down, that there's an inexorable gzeira the Yetzer Hara wants to convince you. And there's no point to, and you don't really have bechira. We react at times. It's an evil that comes about through reading newspapers, as I said. The evil of newspapers, as I said many times, and I'm going to say it one more time. The evil of newspapers is not, it's also the preachers and the values that it insidiously inculcates in you, but I think the worst thing of newspapers is that it makes things seem that it's happening. It's just happening. You're powerless. This is the way it happened. It was inevitable. Because they always write, you'll notice they always write about it after it happens. They never tell you it's going to happen tomorrow. And if they do, then if you keep count, you see they're 85% of the time wrong. They're just very smart when they write about what happened already. Then they make you think it was mukhach. Anyway, getting back to Chavis HaLvavos. Yeah.
Okay, what I would say is that it's like, I was always saying that Hashem's giving us a test. And I've said it various times. Hashem's giving us a test. Okay, if we do the right thing, It shows that we fire up, we want it really bad. Okay? If we don't do the right thing, then it's, well, we're using the events that look at
That's why the Chodesh Lovers calls it the Eitz Hara, that we use it as a rationale. My point is only I want to make the point that perhaps it occurs more often than we care to admit that we think something's inevitable, and even if we're firm and we say it's Exerim and Hashemayim, but then you have to do what you have to do. You can't look at something as inevitable and I'm powerless to stop it. So there's that angle, and there's also the angle, what I said last week, that the Eitz Hara tries to convince us that we don't have Bechira when it seems like we're caught in a certain pattern of behavior, and we blame it on our nature, and we also don't accept the fact that a person can change the way he is in any leader, and he has Bechira in that also. The Rambam says that tshuva and mitzvahs and averus are all nogeya midos also. But the corollary of that is, right, the Rambam, famous Rambam, you have to do tshuva and midos. And the corollary of that is, because the Rambam hooks up, it's an amazing Rambam, I don't have it, the Rambam hooks up tshuva and bechira. The Rambam makes it sound like the tshuva is almost like a tshuva is because a person always has bechira. So even if you do an aveira, that's a very strong machlos around him, because tshuva, that tshuva is a function of bechira. Because you have bechira. Even if you did have bechira, you can still be good. You can get back to where you were. You can climb back. And midos. So my point is, you have to do tshuva and midos. Midos is also bechira. Where a person is kas, you say, he's a Tyson, or he's impatient. So these words flow off our lips as if they're embedded in our nature and impervious to change. But it's not true. And that's the Eitz Hara talking when we talk like that. So those are the two ways that we really fall into this trap that the Chodesh Avod is describing.
That's why the best illustration is, the person will never say, I'm going to work tomorrow.
He will say, I'm going to share the right. So he'll tell you the Chashayir. So second line. The Chashayir Osva Misrashom Maisa Mishmas Vinota Veros Yizom, he will plan La Amish Bidaitha to establish in your psyche Esahreyah. That it's inevitable. Bahochachas chazakos will bring rayas from our kosov, because the psukim, if we take the literal meaning of so many psukim, it sounds like Hashem decides where we're going to go in terms of good and bad, if our paths will be a good path or a crooked path or a straight path, or if our eyes will see what we're supposed to see, if our feet will go where they're supposed to go. Bahamoskol, he'll philosophize a bit, to rationalize and make it rational, in order to provide you with an amasla, with an excuse, as Moshe Bertra says. He's providing you with an excuse. But Omro Loch, Ilu Rotz Hashem Shetavdenu, if Hashem wants this to happen, stop fighting it. Hashem would make you do a certain thing. Hashem wouldn't be letting this happening, let's say. But Kofe Olecha also. So, good and evil, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Talks very firm, but who are you to stand up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're just a machine, lifol mashahovlo, with the buttons pushed. You call out dvarim mesurim biyad Hashem yisrom and yisadar. K'maymer akosuv anochi Hashem olse kol. Now this is all true, and the anomaly exists, except it exists the other way. one more thing I want to speak out, that not only does it exist in a person saying, this is my nature, but it's extremely, extremely common for people to say that if only I would be, people say it all the time, if only I had money, if only I'd be smarter, I'd be more of a master. People say, if I'd be smarter, I'd be more of a master. I would learn more Torah if I'd be smarter. If I had his brain, so I'd be sitting and learning the whole day. Now I can't figure out the Gemara, so what do you want from me? Or this guy got breaks, or this guy has money, and this guy lives here, and I live here. And it's really a not uncommon fallacy at all for people to blame the way they act on the circumstances that they're in. And that's what they're doing. They're falling prey to this Yetzer Hara. So I'm saying not only in nature, in Midos, well, we talked about hereditary and environment and the male, but even in a person's life. He says, this guy got the breaks, I didn't get the breaks. This guy went to this school, I went to that school, I didn't make any friends, and therefore, this and that. And, really smart, rich, we always have excuses. But the Rambam says you have to sit and learn Torah, whether you're rich or you're poor or you're smart or not so smart, it doesn't make a difference. You'll learn according to your level. But the amount of the smart person has more achrayus because he's aware of more things. He has an honor. He has to dig deeper beneath the surface. Okay, b'chashem yireh. And when the Yetzirah sees that the also echad minyani olam hazeh, and when you go to work and you're involved in olam hazeh, you're trying to accomplish something, you're trying to make more money, you're trying to get something fixed, you're trying to do something in this world, yom alecha, yizor mena atzlus. Don't be a batlan. You know why this is, you know, a guy tries to buy a house and it falls through. Yetzirah tells him you're a batlan, you're spending too much time in the Beis Medrash, spending too much time over Sfarim, you gotta get out in the world, you gotta be practical, you have to learn the ins and the outs of things. Or Rifyo, and you're lazy, you're not doing what you gotta do. You can't trust anyone but yourself. You have to do things. No one's gonna do anything for you. Horatio Alger, right? He's gonna inspire you. He's gonna talk very nice talk. You have to go out and have merits and do. It's up to you. You have no one but yourself to blame. If you're not a success, you read self-help books. So much of it is true on a certain, basic level. A lot of it is true that a person has to have confidence and a person has to show initiative. It's very important. The Torah wants you to show initiative. The Torah doesn't want you to be lazy, but it's that subtlety of not thinking that the initiative is really what's being piled. But what's really being piled is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Torah wants you to think that without your initiative you'll fail, and it really looks like that. Because you say, people have asked me this. It's a very hard question to answer. You have to really be a maimon and a boteach. You see, I earned more money this month, and I know I stayed an extra half hour after work. Now, Rabbi Linowitz, you're not going to convince me that if I wouldn't have stayed the extra half hour. And I'm laughing because you have to really firmly believe that you would have, and that, the guidelines of where you draw the line, we learned in the Chavis HaLavavas Shah HaBitachon. The Chavis HaLavavas gives very clear, very specific guidelines on, where to stop with Hishtadlus and to say, the rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives those guidelines in Shah HaBitachon. But my point here is really it's counterintuitive. And it's very easy for the Yetzer Hara to convince you that the more you do, the more you'll earn, and the more you'll accomplish, and the more you'll be comfortable, and it's up to you. V'lachein, he tells you, Samech v'chol kolchacha, work with all of your strength, v'shtadol v'chol yicholtacha, work, get up early, go to sleep late, work overtime, do, Because then you'll be successful. You'll be a success. You won't be a battle. You shomer b'chol yicholtecha and do whatever you can. But the sabeiv ma'atzmocha masha'enu ratzui the tinasul mehen. So the, you know, just these words, there's nothing wrong with. If you take the words in their right context, certainly a person has to avoid things that are detrimental. He has to, and he has to do his job right. No one says that, right? You have to do your job. You have to be a doctor or anything you do, a computer person, whatever a person happens to do. He has to be up on the latest, he should be up on the latest discovery. He has to, you know, he has to read journals. He has to see what's the latest breakthrough in his fields. He has to stay on top of things. That's the normal ofane hishtadlus, certainly. It would be remiss and a pshia if people pay him money to do something and he's not on top of things. He's not on top of things the way he's supposed to be. So, and certainly he has to avoid pitfalls, and he has to be street smart. So where do you draw the line? Where does it become in Jewish thought obsessive, and you wipe HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture, and you start to think that indeed you're controlling the good events and bad events? That is a very difficult question. I can't answer it now. Shara B'tochem. You know, and there's no one line that answers it either. And every person, it could be, has a different level of what he does and what he doesn't do. But the yesodos, the principles, the words at least, how you have to think are in Shara B'tochem. But these words of the Yetzer Hara, he's going over the line. Yishomer b'chol yicholtecha milasabeh ma'atzmucha ma'ashen erotzui v'tinosu mehen. And you're in control, and you'll indeed be saved by them. And now he really quotes, it's very confusing, because he quotes a pasuk now that the Gemara uses to say that indeed it is in a person's hands. K'maimer ha-chacham is the Yitzhar. Chavilovitz is quoting the Yitzhar now. And he brings on the pasuk, tzin and pachim b'derechike, shomer nasa yichak me'an. Now that shows you how clever the Yitzhar is, because Chazal says the pasuk. Chazal say this pasuk, Hakol b'day shabayim chutz mitzvah pachim, and that's a difficult sugya. It's in Ksubis, it's in other places too, but it's primarily in Ksubis Taflamid. It's a very difficult sugya. What does the Gemara exactly mean? Hakol b'day shabayim, when it comes to events, except for tzinim pachim, it's called, let's say, catching cold, getting sick from the climate, from the weather. Hot, cold, according to most Rishonim. No, most Rishonim, according to the basic Rishonim in the Sugya. So it says it's up to you. So what do you mean it's up to you? But my, if it's talking about you dress properly, so there's probably hundreds of things that is up to you. It's really not up to you, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is geyser that you should dress properly, and you should watch out, and you should have an umbrella if it's raining. This is what Hashem wants you to do, and you get sick if you don't listen. So Tosfos there really, it's a hot sugya. It's at least as hot as Kamlei B'Drabbi Mei, which it appears in the middle of. It's just as hot as sugya. Tosfos there says that Enechanami, the Tzinim Pachim is a code word for the basic Hishtadlus that every person has to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing to us in this pasuk that illness and well-being due to weather climactic changes is usually part of the basic hishtadlus that's demanded of a person. But enachanami, it means any area. If you leave your door open at night, a ganav's going to come in. That's also chutz mitzinim pachim. That's my understanding of how places interpret. The Tzinim Pachim is a way of saying chutz mi basic ishtadlus. It's just saying Tzinim Pachim. So it's just saying Tzinim Pachim because usually, but you know, people dress properly. and they jog, and then a picture of health, and they die of a heart attack, right? In the middle of their jogging. And, you know, there's no guarantees. Everything's up to the Eibishter. So the Yetzirah very cleverly quotes, it's so ironic that, and I didn't see any Mefarish speak this out, so I'll speak it out, that it's really very, very clever of the Yetzirah to quote this pasuk, because in this pasuk he happens to be right, so to speak. This is the pasuk where he's right. So he wants you to extrapolate. He wants you to say, so look from how clever. He takes something that is in your hands, whatever the pshat in the pasuk is. I'm going with Tosfos that it doesn't just mean tzinim pachim, but they're prototypes for basic establishments. But he says, look what the pasuk says. Shlomo HaMelech says, tzinim pachim b'derech ikei, shoyimen nashe yitrek mehem, it's up to you. You could stop it, you could make yourself healthy, you can pump iron, and you'll be healthy. And it's up to you. So he's very clever. But Omar, he calls another pasuk, Iveles Odom to Saleif Darko, we went to Pekut Pezayim. The foolishness of a person ruins his life. Bal Hashem Yizof Libo, and he gets mad at Hashem. And he's a fool. He did foolish things, and then he gets mad at Hashem. So again, it's a very clever pasuk to quote, because Shlomo HaMelech's right. People do foolish things. They, right? You know, if you open up a store here selling horseshoes, you're not going to make money. I can guarantee you, you're not going to make money. There was not a gzeira Rosh Hashanah that you're going to have parnasa if you're going to open a horseshoe store. People are not buying horseshoes these days, or manual transmissions either. Maybe that, yes. And Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so it's true, but the Yetzirah quotes this pasuk, and then he wants you to extrapolate and say it's up to you, because it's so hard. It's so hard to draw that line, and it's so hard to believe that there is a line, because our experience is naturally not that way. We see ourselves as the masters of our faith most of the time. So every once in a while you say, okay, this guy was the picture of health, and his lungs stopped working. That's the soul. It shouldn't happen to anybody. But it happens. A guy's kidney goes. It happens. And then you wait and you say, oh, it's up to Hashem. But it's her very clever. For Omar miyetchem hoisozos. This I cannot understand. The quoting of the pasuk in Malachi is beyond me, because it's talking about ruchnius there. If you open up a Malachi, it's talking about the einish that came to Bnei Yisrael because of their. I mamish cannot understand this. I looked everywhere. No one even makes a passing mention of it. It's a pasuk about Malachi. It's talking about either the churban base or Chariyah Malachi. Wait, I'll be right there. Malachi Aleph Tes. I didn't think this guy was so long. Here we are. Aleph Tes. Mietchem Hoysos. Aleph Tes. Mietchem Hoysos. Sayisu Mikem Ponim Amar Shem Tfakos. And then the Sukkim go on to say, it's talking about the Churban Bayis. Or the Arba that came, the Arba that came and ate up their crops. So I can't understand the Chodesh HaLavos. Like, why would the Eitzahar bring on that pasuk? It's talking about rather doing something. I would have, you know, there's a pasuk in Eicha. If I'm the Eitzahar, I'd quote the pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk in Eicha says, "Mipi Elyon lo seitzei haraos v'hatovos." That's a powerfully difficult pasuk. So it's not up to the Eibishter, it's up to you. So, rather, the pshat in the pasuk is that it's talking about Averis and Mitzvahs and their inevitable results. But if I'd be the Eitzahar, I'd quote that pasuk. To quote this pasuk in Malachi, which is explicitly Ruchnius in nature, I don't understand.
What about maybe it's the korban akarim which is
doing
fight against the enemy,
harm? It's not possible because it's stretching it. Okay. V'chol ha'dayim alakach. V'arayu misham alachos ha'taynis. It's a little strange to me to play this old Bobus because he makes it sound as if the Yetzirah is being inconsistent and you should happen in this inconsistency. But it's strange to me because the inconsistency does exist. It just exists the other way. And he's like a little mocking the Chavis Alvavus, which I don't really get, because the inconsistency does exist. Okay, we'll stop here.